Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mark Delaney Crew Wheeler, and welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. I am your host. Welcome. We've got a great show tonight. We got some excellent news coming up and down the Mid-Atlantic coast. Hearing reports of some freshwater stuff going on. Ladies and gentlemen, it's summertime here in Virginia. 86 degrees today. Beautiful out. We've got a fog bank rolling in. So if you're out in the water or thinking about going out tonight, keep that in mind. I live about a mile off the Chesapeake Bay, mile and a half. And it's thick, to say the least. So you are forewarned if you're kind of going out tonight. All right. I'd like to say thank you to everyone in the chat room. Mr. City of Ash, LGB, Red Raider Angle, what's going on, man? And Mr. R. Lee, the puppy drum killer recently. He's been killing them here in Rudy Inlet, so congratulations. I know, Red, you got one too, so congrats, buddy. All right. Excuse me, everyone. I've got a frog in my throat. Kermit's fighting back. So let's talk about official reports here. Remember, you could always call in. The number is 714-816-4727, and it is greatly appreciated. So this way you don't have to hear my jib running all day long. So, different opinions, too. It also helps. Any users, we're going to start off with South Carolina. Report from Charleston is that the cobia have showed up, some offshore, some inside the main bay there. Excuse me. I don't know it off the top of my head. I wrote it down, and it turned into a coloring pad for my children. Cobia, it's apparently in the bay. Cobia offshore. So Spanish mackerel showing up. Good water temps. Heard of a really good red drum bite this past weekend. What else? I'm trying to peek through what little notes I have left that aren't blue, red, and yellow. Sharpie by that, so it's really not showing up very well. And some flounder action too, so that's always good. And then up to North Carolina. Just let everyone know that they are catching cobia outside of Oregon Inlet. So get out there. I heard a report of one only about 50 yards off the beach. Following a stingray that was hooked up off of one of the charter boats yesterday. So that is an excellent sign. They got a bunch today in too, along with some really nice flounder. And good red grub bite too, along with that. Some of them moved in. So definitely check that out. All right, on to up here in Virginia. If you live in Virginia, guess what? You are enjoying the weather. I know I have. Past few days, mid-80s, beautiful out. It looks like we're having an excellent weekend. Especially with this warm front. Rudy Inlet, if you can find the puppy drum, they are there. same old trout. Really good trout bite. I actually caught my biggest trout the other night of the year. 25 inches, which is my release citation. Really pleased about that. And then what else we got going on? Bluefish, flounder in the bay and in all the inlets. Some gray trout, the HRBT, some shad that are left, some herring. Catch and release on the herring, please. Trophy striper season opened up, and I heard a great report off the Bathers Tunnel that the mama cows are still around. So get out there, troll some of those big storms or big swim baits, throw bucktails, live line croaker and spot, get out there and get on them. They're here. So definitely get into them. Up in Maryland, their striper season is kicking off with a big bang. They're really doing very well up there. The cooler waters of the Susquehanna are mixing with these warmer waters from down here in the lower end, and really creating a smacking of striper loving. They're doing very well. Some black drum have moved up about mid-peninsula area, northern neck. So that is an excellent sign for y'all up there. Get on them, folks. And in Delaware, black drum have moved in along with the stripers. I heard some reports of some surf fishermen out of Lewes, Delaware, catching some really nice flounder, apparently, or fluke, as they're called up there. So definitely, folks, get out there. Enjoy this beautiful weekend. If you have kids, don't forget to check out the big tuna. I took my son out today on the big tuna that I picked up yesterday, and I'm thinking about taking both of my kids on it. It's that stable. I was standing up, casting above his head, and just handing him the rod straight underneath him. I'm 230 pounds, and I can walk from bow to stern with no issues. I even was on one leg at one point, and thing doesn't want to tip over. So check out the big tuna only at jacksonkayak.com. All right. Let's see here. What else do we have going on? Freshwater bite. Some for all y'all north of Virginia, if you're hitting post-spawn, those fish are coming off the beds. Some are still on the beds. For the bass I'm talking about, definitely want to start throwing rattle traps for post-spawn bass. Rattle traps. This is the time to throw that big swim bait that you bought 2 or 3 years ago that cost you $100. It'll be worth it, trust me. Run that thing slow, low and slow, and you will not have any issues. Next, the crappie bite has been good up north too, along with some of the muskies I heard out west in Tennessee and everywhere else. So everything's really picking up. Really picking up. Good smallmouth bite in the rivers also. From Virginia south, post-spawn is pretty much a thing of the past for many of us. But there are some bass that have hit the beds or coming off the beds. Same thing, run a rattle trap, throw a jig, start thinking summer patterns. Especially with these warm spells in the 80s, going to bring that water temp up to about 70, between 70 and 75. And that is what we're looking for a summer, for the beginning of a summer trend for many of our bass species, along with the crappie and brim. You can't go wrong. Taking kids out for that is an excellent way of getting them into fishing. I heard reports of a guy doing very well catching carp recently out of many of the local lakes here in Virginia. So get on that. And the big blue cats on the James River have gone deep. So find those deep holes and you will get into them. So good luck. All right. With that, we're going to go ahead here and do our shameless plug with the Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Give me the flats at dawn with plenty of tailing fish. The perfect fly rod. Yeah. And get ready for some magic.
Awesome eat, man. I got one. Oh, damn, I got him.
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
All righty. Getting into what we're going to talk about tonight. And that is summer patterns. I know I just seen a couple weeks ago we were talking about spring patterns. But it seems like spring was back in January for many of us, and now we're into summer in May. So let's talk about things you should start looking for and looking at doing and what you might want to start thinking about doing now. It's early. You can really make a big jump and do things that you never thought you could. if you plan out right. And what I mean by that is starting off with fishing or doing something you've never done before, and setting a goal. Basically, it's, you know, setting goals for the upcoming season. And I'll give you an example of what my goals are. My goals are to catch and release a trophy red drum at some point. A trophy black drum, catch and release. I want to kill a cobia. I want to catch a king. I already plan on going offshore to go after dorado and tuna. Those are my goals. Along with paddling, I have a little GPS app on my phone that tracks how far I've gone in my kayak. Thanks to, forget who it's through. But, you know, I set the marker, and it's one of those walking ones, so I use it to, on the water. So I can tell how far I paddle. I want to paddle over 150 miles before July. Can I do it? Yes, I can. This past weekend, I paddled 12 miles around Fisherman's Island on the Eastern Shore. Didn't catch anything, but 12 miles are down, 138 to go. So, you know, those are all goals that you can set. You know, improving my stroke, improving my balance, you know, catching a puppy drum from the standing position, you know, getting my kids into, you know, trout and puppy drum and flounder on the kayak. Things like that are all, you know, achievable goals that everyone, you know, that I can do. So let's talk about, you know, we're going to talk about Virginia because I fished South Carolina, I fished North Carolina, but I'm based out of Virginia if you don't know that. And I'm going to break down some of the goals that, you know, anyone can do and that are simple to do, you know, to a point. And you don't need to bust the bank either. First off, the first one, and that's going to be one of the easiest to do, surprisingly, and that's catch a cobia. I talk about cobia a lot. The reason for that is they're a lot of fun. I know people say, oh, that's a difficult fish to catch out of a kayak. No, it's not. The reason I say that is I've caught cobia before off of kayaks, and I've lost them. I lose a lot of big fish because I use light tackle a lot. I'm a light tackle freak. I know most people turn their nose up and go, why would you use light tackle? You know, you're in a kayak, you can just force them in. Well, yeah, but I started fishing light tackle while I worked on a boat, and it's kind of ingrained in my brain. You know, I want to test myself in the tackle, you know, in a width, you know, realizing that, you know, for fish is taking off a bunch of line, which means the drag setting I already have on there is possibly double from where it was when I had full line capacity. So I need to back off the drag before I start bringing this fish in, so this way I don't break my 30-pound tippet on a possible 80-pound cobia. Something like that. You know, I think, you know, I would use 30 pounds on the cobia, but you kind of get my drift on mind over just brute strength. So let's go over how you would go about catching cobia in Virginia, per se. The first thing you want to do is some research. I apologize for the person on hold. That's area code 978. You're live on Kayak Fishing Radio.
Hey, Mark. It's Greg.
Hey, Greg.
How are you doing?
Doing good, man. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Sitting in a hotel and can't get in the chat room, and it kept kicking me off online, so I figured I'd call in and talk a little bit.
Nice, man.
See what was going on. Sounds like you've been out fishing some.
Yeah, I was able to get out this past weekend. Got into some fish on Saturday. I had a charter. We caught some trout. We caught some bluefish. We caught a monster croaker. I mean, just it was a good day.
That's good.
Yeah, man.
That's pretty cool. been going pretty good up here. I haven't gotten out to the salt water yet, but we actually reverted back into spring. In March, we had fish up on beds, and I went out Saturday, and they were all back deep hiding again. Like early spring conditions for us.
Right.
So, 3 steps forward, 5 steps back.
Yeah. That's yeah, that's the way it was last week for all of us down here. It was just, you know, back down the 60s and the 50s, lows in the low 40s. I was like, really? You know? And then May 1st, it jumped all the way back up to mid-80s. It's like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, when I launched on Sunday, it was 30 degrees, and there was ice inside my kayak. Gotta love those conditions.
That's wicked. But
yeah.
We've got another caller. Area code 704, you're on the air. All right, I'm going to put you on mute if you're just listening, okay? All right. Anyway, but yeah, let's get back to what's going on in Virginia and how to catch those cobia. First, let me get back to the topic. First thing I want to do is research. And what I've done this past winter and into now is I've pulled up maps of the NOAA maps, the NOAA charts, and looked at areas that I know cobia like. And I did a lot of research. Because I'm not very cobia-minded, per se. So I decided, you know what, let me look at, what are they looking for? And cobia are really simple. They're looking for structure, for cover, buoys, major changes in the bottom, i.e. 20 feet to 10 feet, you check those little lines that are there when they're closer together, that means that's a pretty steep face. They like that sort of stuff. The structure out in the bay, Bay Bridge Tunnel holds fish all the time. So, we've got a good, idea of where they're at. And actually, there's one area, the Latimer Shoals, I believe that's what I'm thinking of, right off the eastern shore. It's a decent paddle out if you catch the tide right. And with a good depth finder, you can find that ledge or one of the ledges. Anchor up and do what you need to do. But that's the first thing. Figure out where you're going to fish. And then figure out what you're going to need to be able to fish for that. So let's look at tackle for cobia and what I am going to be using. I'm going to have 2 rods set up for cobia while I'm out in the kayak. And I'm going to work different depths with them. One is going to be a bait on the bottom. A crab, an eel, a chunk of bunker, something like that. And that is going to be on a medium, 7.5 foot, medium heavy rod, conventional rod with a old Daiwa Slosh 40. I've had this reel forever. It's caught more fish than, than I can say, but it's my surf casting reel, and it works great. So that's going on there. And instead of using braid, here's the difference. Instead of using braid, I'm going to use 20-pound mono. And I know I talk about braid all the time, but I want the mono. With that first initial run with cobia, and I've had this experience while on the pier, is when I appear in surfish, and I've seen them get caught, is that the ones that are using braid, you have to really take the drag down when they hit, because
they'll just break your gear. Because when they hit hard, and they take off. And I want that stretch, and I want that extra minute or two to release my anchor and take off after this fish. So this way I'm not killing myself. So that'll be the first thing that I want to do, is use mono on the bottom rod. So this way you can pick it up, you can take it off, and I can, when I lock it down and set that hook with the circle hook, I got that stretch in there to basically absorb the major impact, is the best way to put it, for me. And this is just my personal way of doing it. Use braid if you want. And actually, that is going on my second rod. And my second rod is going to have is my Abbott MXJ with on a heavy rod. And that's going to be 60-pound braid. Double for the leader is going to be a double line tied with a spider hitch, I believe it is. 10 feet of that going to a shock style of 5 feet of 80-pound mono, okay? And then another 3 feet of 100-pound fluorocarbon. That's my top rod. That is going to have the double line is there. This way I can wrap my line around a balloon and clip it off. So this way that bait can sit out there deeper. And that's going to be my quote-unquote top rod, my mid-level. And I'm actually going to have a third rod that is either going to be a bucktail, it's going to be a spinning reel, and that's going to be I'm going all across the gamut here. I got a, what do I have? I have a Daiwa, I have an Abbott, and I have my Pen 750SS, an oldie but a goodie, old coffee grinder style. And that's going to be braid also. 60-pound, I think I have on that one, 80-pound on that one. Pretty much the same setup, except there is no double line. I have a shock of mono, and then my 3 feet of 100-pound fluoro, the bucktail, and or a 10-aught snelled circle hook with an eel on it. So this way, if I see a cobia float by, because I'm planning on anchoring up right next to a buoy, I can toss it out there and not have any prolonged issues. So let's talk about another side of it. That's how to get the cobia to come to you. And, you know, if you talk to the avid cobia guy, he's going to tell you, well, you got to use bunker chum, and you got to chunk bunker chums out there, and you got to do this, and you got to... Listen, folks, spend the money and go out and just buy the pre-made chum. You know, probably need more than 5 gallons worth, or I think they come in gallons. I know we have Mr. Steve Chapman with Florida Fishing Radio. Remember, folks, you can always catch that Saturday mornings at 6 at 7:40 the game. I believe it is. I am correct. It's a live stream with Boudreaux, Steve Chapman, and Captain Mike Ortego. Great show. Even if you don't live in Florida, a lot of great stuff there. I know they're probably going to talk about, you know, Junior Seau committing suicide. That's a great loss to the, you know, in the world. But anyway, check him out. I know. I don't know if anyone else can attest to this, you know, how much I think they make gallon-sized chum bags, frozen chum, pre-made. You know, buy two or three of those, folks. It'll be worth it. And what you're going to want to do is what I do, or what I'm going to be doing, is I'm going to have two chum slicks set up. One is going to be weighted down with a big rock for the bottom. And I'm going to have a bucket that's drilled with holes, so this way I tie off that rock on a rope
drop it down. That book goes down to the bottom, okay? And that's going to be my lower-end chum slick. And then I have another one just lay it off the side of the kayak, so this way I can work the top end of the water column through the mid-level as well. If you don't know, chum works for everything. And so I can carry four rods in my kayak. My fourth rod is going to be a flounder rod. Drop down almost about 5 feet in front of that chum bucket on the bottom. Trying to hammer some tasty flatfish. As well, with Fisher Macomia. Steve Chapman just let us know that he's going to have Mark Melnick of Real Fishy Jobs on the show this Saturday. And next week, Chico Fernandez and Henry Wasnuznik, or Wasnuznik, WASZCNUK. I gave him my best shot. Is going to be on the show next weekend. So this week, catch Mark Melnick of Real Fishy Jobs, only on 740 The Game. You can catch that online with Fishing Florida Radio with Steve Chapman, Boudreaux, and Captain Mike Ortego. All right. Great show, by the way, bud. Almost got those coasters a couple weeks ago. Dang it. Anyway. Brain fart. Okay. Back to topic. Fishing for flounder, pretty simple. Cut bait on bottom. Ta-da. One other thing you're going to need, or two things actually, is if you plan on keeping, this is only if you're going to keep a cobia, is understand your local regulations on the size. Here in Virginia, it's over 32, 34, I think. Okay? If you have any thought, I don't know if that's going to be a big enough fish. Don't stick them, okay? You know, it's almost better to get almost beaten up before you stick any fish. You know, it sounds kind of suicidal, but, you know, be sure before you beat their brains in. And then it comes to this point, if you know that they're legal size, you're going to take a nice sharp gaff right in the shoulder. And where the shoulder is, if you think of picture in your mind, a cobia, okay, or any fish for that matter, right behind the head where the gill plate kind of rolls around, you get that big meaty shoulder section. I call that the shoulders, or if it's a really fat fish, you know, the sausage neck. Yeah, that's what you're looking for. That's you know, you can deal with losing a little bit of that meat. That's where your goal is to gaff this fish, okay? So he gets in close, you gaff him. The second thing you're going to need is a beating utensil, i.e. a Louisville Slugger with a, you know, 3/8-inch bolt driven through it, sharpened to a very sharp point on the end, is one option. Another one is taking a aluminum bat and filling it full of lead, option two. Option three is one of the pre-made bats. The basically a fishy be good stick is what you're looking at. Or option four is kind of sketchy, and that's using a nightstick or a knife and going, you know, Freddy Krueger crazy on them. You know, stabbing until they stop moving kind of thing. And those are your options. Personally, I have gone with option one, and that is a Louisville Slugger. Actually, it's option one and two. I took a metal Louisville Slugger, aluminum bat, put 2 pounds of lead in the end, and then added a 3/8-inch bolt through there, and used a grinder and grinded down a nice sharp tip, and then went outside and practiced on the dog. I'm kidding. I didn't practice on the dog. No. I went ahead and 45 ACP.
that would work. No, I went ahead and sat in my kayak, and it sounds weird, but I used the body of a deer decoy that I had, wrapped the line around it, marked this, you know, drew the outline of a cobia best I could. Don't ask me to show pictures because I'm not. You know, and kind of marked where I thought the bring would be, okay? And I practiced dragging this decoy along the grass, sticking it with the gaff, and then smacking it with the bat, and seeing if in one swing I could hit my mark, which is that soft, fleshy, pink stuff that we all call the bring. And I've gotten very good at that. Hopefully I can replicate that this summer at some point. So that's how you would dispatch one of those. And I don't think anyone's really talked about this, and that's, you know, cobia are notorious for coming back to life after getting their head beaten in. So please think about using a tail rope. And it's pretty simple. On how you would do this. And you need an anchor trolley to really effectively do this technique. And that is, you just beating his head in, good for you. Take a rope, put it through his mouth, okay, like you would any stringer, kind of. Okay, tie it off. Tie that tag, put the tag in through your anchor trolley, okay, and hang on to it. Grab a second piece of rope, okay, and do a simple clinch knot or a hitch knot on his, around his tail, okay, at the base of the tail. And tie that to a handle, tie it to something. So this way, what you do is you tie that off, and then you pull your anchor trolley so it's all the way to the stern if you can, or to your bow, okay, making that tight. You want to tighten this up. This way, if he does decide to come back to life, he's not going to go anywhere. This way, he's still in the water, and you don't have to worry about him coming back to life and really hurting you. It allows you to still fish. You know, for areas like down in Louisiana, I know you can catch, you know, three or four of them at a time. Here in Virginia, you can only keep one, but allows you to keep fishing if you want to fish for flounder or whatever else. Or make the paddle back end easier instead of having to be sitting there worrying about a cobia coming back to life in between your legs. That is not a sensation no one should ever experience. So, yeah. If you can do all that, you should be successful. I plan on being successful this year. And actually, most likely in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to test this out on the cobia that should be just showing up. But that is my goal. All right. Let me check time. 8:30. All right. And step into black drum. No, because the reason I'm going to step into black drum is that no one's really talked about them. It's like that little, you know, that, mole, you know, on your cousin's forehead. You know, everyone sees it and knows about it and laughs at it, but no one wants to say about it, well, you know, wants to really talk about it. We're going to talk about it. Black drum. Down south, I know people catch black drum all the time, you know, up to 15, 30 inches. We don't get them that small here usually. Granted, we do get some, you know, they are that small, but we usually are looking at 80 to 100-pound black drum here in Virginia, in the Bay. And yes, you can keep them that big. Just be forewarned that they are known to have worms and parasites, which are, you know, you can safely eat the fish or cut out those parasites without any worries because you will see them in the flesh. Personally, for me, if I brought home a fillet and had a parasite in and my wife saw it, I'd be sleeping in my truck. So, you know,
If you want to keep them, go right ahead. I prefer not to, but that's personally me. And same gives cobia, but the only difference is it'll be two bottom rods, okay, and tipped with a sea clam or a chunk of crab or mussel is what they like. So what you're looking at for, no sushi for the black drum is what you're going to do with those baits is a 8-aught to 10-aught circle hook tipped with a whole clam or half a clam, depending on, you know, how cheap you are. And same areas, shoals, drop-offs, structure, the islands around the Baybridge Tunnel are very productive. And this time of year, you can go out there, anchor up, chum with some clam, get them going, toss out those baits. You don't have to toss them out far. We're talking maybe, you know, just a little flip, a little 10 foot in front of you. Click her on in the rod holder, read a book. It's as simple as that. Now, with black drum, you need to understand that these are snotty, snotty fish. Now, I hear some people say that, you know, speckled trout are slimy. Yes, they are. Eels are slimy. Yes, they are. Black drum are slimy. God. And their slime, just to be forewarned, that if it's a hot day out and you decide to bring that big snotty sucker on your lap, that you might want to have a change of clothes. The reason for that is their slime is known to putrefy, become rancid while you're wearing your clothes. And the smell will make you sick. I can raise my hand because it made me sicker than a dog out in the water last year. I caught a nice one and brought him into my lap because I was so excited. I didn't put two and two together at the time until it was already too late. And it was a good 85, 90-degree day, sunny, bright. And I'm sitting there, and I'm going, oh, I feel sick. What's that smell? And then I realized what it was, and it was already too late. And I can tell you this, it is very uncomfortable to be paddling in a wind as you're launching your lunch off the starboard side. So, please be forewarned about that. Unhook them at the side of the boat. If you can, lift them out of the water for the picture. If not, you can always, you know, leg lift them in if you're wearing shorts. Get them into, you know, in your footwell. Take a nice picture where you can lift them up. Send them home. You know, and the little ones, anything under 25, 30 inches, go right ahead. Enjoy. Very, very nice firm flesh meat. Kind of has a consistency of what they eat, shellfish. And so clams has a very clammy flavor, and I love them. Any of the smaller ones. So definitely get on them for that. So with that, I'd like for everyone in the chat room to go ahead and take a few minutes and post up where you're going to be fishing this weekend. Before I do that, just let everyone know, Sunday, I'm planning on being at the Eastern Shore at Wise Point Ramp. The goal is to head over to Smith Island. Right before the show, I just got back from helping a buddy of mine move some oyster pots. some of them were going dry on them. So while I was over there, I saw some puppy drum rolling around those oyster pots. So the goal is for Sunday to go out there and try to get in some puppy drum without having to beat our heads in with at the shoals. So you're more than welcome to join me. You can contact me through my website at landingcrewkayakfishing.com. And just let me know, give me a call, text me, or send me an email. My email, hit the contact me page, or contact us page. Be, you know, more than willing to have you join us. All right. So, Arlie just posted up. He's going to hit the Eastern Shore on Friday. You going out Saturday or Sunday, buddy? Greg, you going out this weekend?
I'm thinking about it. I'm hoping maybe if the weather holds, wind stays down, try to catch some of these early season stripers that have arrived up in Boston already.
Nice.
See what the weather looks like. If not, I'll definitely get out to some ponds and do some bass fishing and stuff like that. But, would like to go see some salt water.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a feeling on that one. Well, yeah. Hopefully the weather really starts warming up for you. I unfortunately am not going to be able to make Jamaica Bay, ladies and gentlemen. I have to go underneath the knife here soon. I have a medical thing going on, so I do apologize for anyone that was looking forward to meeting me. Like I said, my health has to come first in the situation, and Eastern Shore for me, or the Jamaica Bay tournament has been removed from my list, and I apologize to anyone. So, alrighty. Anyone else? Anybody can talk about? I know Steve Chapman's going to be busy on Saturday morning. Everyone else is basically leaving. Early at Saturday night. I'll be everybody on Saturday, so I'll see you there, buddy. All right, Mr. Chuck Condor, thank you for showing up. City of Ash, Hammerhead Greg Crisp, Red Raider Angler, and Arlie, I have to get up with you and get you some dates, buddy. Thank you, everyone, for showing up. My shameless plugs, Jackson Kayaks. You can paddle the rest, or paddle and paddle the rest, but why not paddle the best and paddle Jackson Kayak with their revolutionary Big Tuna Tandem Kayak. Tandem solo kayak truly set the industry standard. Slayer Inc., you have no idea how bad these baits are. I outfished guys in Gulp in the same area the other night. The Rangers are winning. Excellent. Boo caps. Anyway, excellent baits, excellent jig heads. Check out SlayerInc.com because you got to be a slayer in this business. All right. Next one is Columbia Sportswear because Mama said so. I'm trying to think of anyone else. YakAngler.com, the ultimate kayak fishing resource, home of the boondoggle. I can't believe I almost got the boondoggle. October 5th through the 8th. Definitely check out the boondoggle.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle. What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out YakAngler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
He said it all. All right. With that, I have to say and do. Again, thank you, everyone, for showing up. Arlie, call me. Anyone else wants to give me a call and just want to talk fishing, go right ahead. I'm being bold. I'm being brave. Give me a call anytime. My phone number is 757-263-0854, or email me at mark@landingcrewkayakfishing.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, have a great night. Have a wonderful weekend. It's going to be beautiful out up and down the East Coast, so get on them. I hope to see you all out in the water. Take a kid fishing. Always wear your PFD. and go Rangers go. All right, bring Stanley's Cup home. With that, I will let everyone go. Let's see here. With that, good night, everybody.